Well, let's remember me. This morning it was a remembrance with a warning. For those that wasn't here this morning, it was Lot's wife. We were told to remember Lot's wife. And she was given this warning. Don't look back. A simple message. She wasn't asked to do things that she couldn't possibly do, but she was just asked to, don't look back. Keep going forward. Well, tonight, it's remember with a request and a promise. And the request is there. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the promises in verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So it's a remember again, and we'll be remembering at the table shortly. You see, the request, it was from earth to heaven, the young man to the Saviour. And the promise came from heaven to earth. And we find that in Psalm 50 and verse 15. And it's, this is what it says. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. There was the request that Jesus tells us that should be made. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And this young man, well, we keep saying young man, but he might have been an old man. Let's just say this man. There was a great miracle that happened in an instant. And when a person is saved, it happens in an instant. And it's a great miracle. And it was a great miracle that happened to this young man. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 44. And the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Did you hear what it said? It said the thieves. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. That's plural. The two of them, when they were crucified, railed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to what it says in Luke chapter 23. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. That's one. And the other one says, but the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? It's at the same time. This all happened just before the 3 hours of darkness. In a moment, the two of them are railing against the Lord Jesus Christ, and in a moment, this young man is changed. Grace works in a moment. We know sometimes it takes some time beforehand, but to be saved is in an instant. There is much work to be done, we know, in evangelism, to tell people. But the actual saving of a soul is instant. And we see this great miracle that came upon this young man, well, this man, as he was hanging there on the cross. And his request was, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He uses the word today. Now, what do they mean today? Do they mean today? Well, I suggest it did mean today, for this reason. that it was a high day and they had to be off the cross by 6 o'clock. So it meant that the two of them, or the three of them, were going to be off the cross before 6 o'clock. When Jesus says today, he was meaning that today you're going to be off. Now we know that the crucifixions, it could last for days. In the summertime, they could be dehydrated and die with that. In the wintertime, they could have hypothermia and they could die with that. They would have to put up with birds landing on them and pecking them. You never died instantly when you were crucified. It took days and days at times to die, but Jesus is saying to this young man, today. I don't know if this man realized what Jesus was saying about today. I don't know if he realized it was going to be today. And when we think about how he came off the cross, it's bad enough being crucified. But what about having your legs broken? And how did they break his legs? They must have broke, I take it to be the shins, because they were on a cross, and they must have used a hammer. What a way to die. And yet Jesus says today, today, you'll be off the cross. And he says, today you'll be with me. And what did he mean when he said, you'll be with me? Because Jesus knew he was going into a tomb. And this young man, let's say this man. He knew what would happen to him. He was a criminal, and criminals who were crucified were burned. So he knew what was going to happen to him today. And yet Jesus had said to him, you're going to be with me. I don't know how much this man realised, how much he figured it out. But how comforting it must have been when he thought he wasn't going to... He didn't know at this time his legs were going to be broken. But he thought he was going to die that day, because this one that he was talking to had said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. So what was he talking about? What was Jesus talking about? Well, he was talking about what I was talking about this morning. He was talking about the man's soul. Because his body was going to be burned, and Jesus' body was going to be entombed. And if Jesus says, today you're going to be with me, he must have been talking about his soul. And that's a comfort to the Christian. That when death comes to the Christian and the body and the soul part, this body goes into the grave or wherever it is, and the soul goes to be with the Lord. Remember me. One commentator said, it's not when you come into your kingdom, but remember me when you come in your kingdom. You see, he's recognizing that this man is a king. And that this man has a kingdom. And he must be realizing, if the man said to him, you're going to be with me, he must have realized that there was life after death. You're going to be with me, so there must be life after death. And if this man had a kingdom, and I'm going to be with him, then it's obviously that it's not a spiritual place, that it must be a real place, a physical place. And it's the same for the Christian. The body and the soul will come together, and it will be physical. We will not be floating around in the spirit. Jesus Christ rose again Although his body never saw corruption, ours will. Unless, of course, you die on the day that Christ comes back again. But what a wonderful thing to remember. This young man who is dying in agony, remember, he's in agony. His hands and his feet have been nailed. And yet, God has given them in this situation the means to believe that the central figure is more than what he thinks he is. And what do you think of the central figure? What do you think of the central figure? What is the central figure to you? What is he to me? He's the same to me as he was to that man. He was his saviour. Oh, my friends. The request brought about an incredible conversation. It was an incredible. The man's in agony. The Lord's in agony. And here they're talking to each other as though nothing was happening. The request was an incredible conversation. Lord, remember me. Yes, I'll remember you. In fact, the Lord was saying, I don't need to remember you because I'm taking you with me. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. What an incredible conversation. Two men dying in agony. And they're talking as though nothing was happening. I'm not trying to say they didn't feel the pain. Of course they did. But if you're in great pain, you're not going to be just talking normally. And the promise is an incredible conversion. An incredible conversion. A conversation between two dying men in the most excruciating and seemingly hopeless situation. No one ever came down from a crucifixion alive. Never. They always were brought down dead. And yet here are these two men having a normal conversation in one sense. And we see the work of grace in this incredible conversion. That's why I spoke about this wonderful miracle between Matthew and Luke. It was a marvellous miracle how a man could be cursing the Lord Jesus Christ and at the next moment he's praising him. And is that not the case for us? There was a time when I was cursing Christ. There was a time when I was blaspheming the Son of God. I remember standing in the county hotel. And I still remember standing at the bar. And it was my turn to buy the drinks. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know how he done it. But the thought came to my mind, you're wasting your time here. This is not for you. And yet, I was there with all my mates. You can say the same, surely. There was a time when you were a blasphemer. And then you started to think about the things of God. How did you start to think about the things of God? Because God himself, with the Holy Spirit, came and caused you to think about other things rather than yourself. The work of grace is seen in this incredible conversion. And it was all happened before the 3 hours of darkness. You see, the other malefactor, he asked to be saved. Save yourself and save us. The one male factor wanted life now, whereas the other male factor wanted life after death. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. One died as he lived, and the other one lived as he died. I'll say that again. It's important. One of the male factors died as he lived. He died in his sin. And the other male factor lived as he died. He died in Christ. And there's the difference, my dear friends. There's the difference between the work of God. You'll notice as you read this that Jesus never spoke to this other male factor. He spoke to Jesus. He ridiculed him. But Jesus had no time for this other male factor because of his attitude. And there are times, and Paul tells us in Romans, there are times when God said, enough's enough, no more. And he stops the ears of those for all that time who have refused to hear. I pray your ears have not been stopped. I pray your ears have not been stopped. As I said this morning, just because you're in a church doesn't mean to say you're saved. As I said this morning, Jesus had thousands upon thousands of followers. But he only had a few disciples. And many of these followers followed him into the synagogue and heard these words. And they said, no man ever spoke like this one. This man speaks with authority. And yet Jesus said, I never knew you. That's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again, Nicodemus. You're a teacher of the law. You know what the Old Testament says. You know all about Moses. But knowledge of the Scriptures will not save you. It's knowledge of the one who had the Scriptures written that will save us. It's Jesus. Oh, my friends, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this happened before the 3 hours of darkness. Unlike the other male factor, this one would have entered the darkness with hope. Jesus is a man who endured the darkness, but as Jesus' son, he was still the light of the world. And here is the first experience of the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The young man went into the 3 hours of darkness with Christ. Yes, he had to enter the darkness, but the light of the world was with him. That's why I keep saying to people, there's no such thing as light at the end of the tunnel for the Christian, because the light is in the tunnel with the Christian. We don't look to the end of the tunnel for help and light. He's there. He's walking through the darkness with us. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you, he says. And when he said, Lord, one commentator says the word really for Lord there is Kyrie. I don't know if that's Greek or whatever it is. But he said there's this word Kyrie, and it actually means majesty. Now whether he has seen the inscription, the King of the Jews, and he called him Majesty. That was a word for Lord, which fits in with the word kingdom. And one commentator says this, and I love this. Calvary becomes a palace, and the cross becomes a throne for this young man. Picture the scene. Death and blood, cursing and laughing and joking, and probably screaming those who are on the cross. But for this one man, Calvary becomes a palace and the cross becomes a throne. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful how these men think these things up and they're all written down that we can read them. I think that's wonderful to think of Calvary. When you think of Calvary, you think about death and you think about pain and sorrow. But when you think of this man being saved, it becomes a palace. You're the king, you're the majesty. And the cross becomes a throne. Christ is on his throne. He's doing the work that his Father sent him to do. He's come to save sinners. And here's one who's just a few feet from him. And he's the first claim. Here's the first claim of the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The first claim, and he's hanging beside him, just about to die. I think the Bible's wonderful. I do. I think it's wonderful. There's things in here that really... I can't find words to explain what the Bible really does to us if we seek to get into it. It's not always like that. I'm not saying I'm living in a dream. But sometimes it's so wonderful. And you read a certain part and it just goes into your heart and into your soul. And you feel as though you're in heaven. You feel as though you're standing in his presence. And he's talking to you. And he says such things as, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Some things maybe when you're in pain, he says to you, all things work together for good. This will work for your good. Oh, it's wonderful. Remember me. He believed that there was a future after death. Do you believe in life after death? I don't see anyone nodding. I take it that you do. He believed in life after death. This may have been the first opportunity that he ever thought about life after death, because he was enjoying his life before death, before he was caught. I'm sure he enjoyed his sin. We don't know what he was doing, but he would have been enjoying it because he kept on doing it. But now, he's thinking about a future after death, and that he knew that this man in front of him was in control of the future. God holds the key of all unknown, and I am glad. We used to sing that at the beginning of the year, especially when we went to the old folks' homes, and we used to sing that. He holds the keys to all unknown. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in an hour. He does. That's why I can say my soul is safe in the arms of Jesus. That's why a Christian can say that. Because we know he holds the key to our life. He sees these things in this man that's hanging beside him. He sees a hope He's been given a promise, so he sees a hope in this man that's hanging beside him. This man that's hanging beside him says to him, today you're going to be off the cross. Today you're going to be alive. Today you're going to be with me. And we're talking about the soul, because the soul never dies. So he saw in Jesus a hope, and he is my hope. He is your hope. It has to be your hope. He's seen in him a life. Because I live, you shall live also, Jesus says. My friends, this is not all there is. Aren't you glad this is not all there is? The best is yet to come. We are going to be with him. We're going to see him. There'll never be a time when we can't see him. Millions of people will be around him. But we'll all be able to see him. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he says that every eye shall see him when he comes. I don't know how he's going to do it, because I can't see people around the street. But people on the other side of the world is going to see him the same time as the people on this side. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know that he can do it. Because he can do all things. There is nothing impossible. Jeremiah's asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah has to say, no, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You see, all these things that we believe is a great comfort to the heart. That's why the Bible's been written, that we might know the things of God. That's the first thing the Bible is written for. It's not to tell us about our sin, it's to tell us about God. If you want to study the Bible, you must study the doctrine of God first. Not the doctrine of man, and then try to bring God down to us, but the doctrine of God and try to take us up to him. He saw in this man a future. A future. What does the future hold for the world? What does the future hold for the Christian? I have a future. I have a glorious future. Because the Lord is the portion of my inheritance which is being kept for me in heaven. There's my future. It's to collect an inheritance, and the Bible says that the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. And it also says that I'm the portion of his inheritance. What a wonderful truth that is. That's why we can say I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. We are one in him. The only hope in life and future, that peace. All that peace that passeth all understanding. The world knows nothing of peace. We read in Isaiah that there's no peace for the wicked. No peace whatsoever. Governments are trying to talk about peace. There will never be peace in the world. There's only one place where peace dwells, and that's in the heart. In the heart of the one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. In the heart of the one who has been saved by grace through faith. He asks not for life from death. I mentioned that earlier, as the other one does. But he asks for a life after this death. That's what's most important. If Jesus had come down from the cross and taken these two men down from the cross, they would have went back to their old life. But this one sees in Christ the way of salvation, and he's not interested in getting down from the cross, but he's interested in life after the cross. And there's life for the Christian after death. life that we've never experienced before. Because the Bible says that there is no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. And in heaven is a place where nothing will enter that defiles. Are you looking forward to going to heaven? Anyone here wanting to go to heaven?
Yes,
am I going to go alone? I don't want to go alone. We're too set in our ways. We're afraid to answer at times. But I know who you are. Our time is gone. The other man said to Christ, you have to prove that you are the Christ. And the only way that you can prove that you are the Christ is to come down from the cross and take me down with you. But there was nothing of this for this one. There was nothing that he said to Jesus, okay, you've said that I'll be with you today, prove it. He took the word of Jesus to be the truth. And that's what we must do. We must never say to Jesus, prove it. We must just accept his word. He doesn't have to prove anything because he is. It's up to us to believe. Well, I haven't got time now, but the promise. Where do we find this promise? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Here's the promise that the young man received. Your sins I will remember no more. There's the word remember. And it comes from God. Your sins I'll remember no more. That was the promise. The request was, see me in heaven with yourself. And the promise was this, your sins I'll remember no more. That's why Paul could write, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because my sins have all gone. All my past sins have gone. The sins that I will commit, and I will commit sins, because I'm still a sinner, although I'm saved by grace, and I'm still sin, because the Bible says that we have to confess, and it's through confession of our sin that cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. But on that day when I stand, and when every Christian stands before His Majesty, no sin will ever be cast up. You and I say, yes, we'll forgive you your sins if someone does it against us. But do we ever say, I won't remember them? We may have forgiven them, but we sometimes cast them up, which means that we haven't forgotten them. But Jesus says, your sins I will remember no more. Today, no lingering death with me, sharing with me in paradise, safe and secure. Let's pray.